All right, we're going to take our Bibles tonight, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and we're going to actually finish up the message that we started Sunday morning. And I hope most of you brought your handout back to church with you tonight to finish it out. If not, you know we're ever ready here at Crossroads, ever prepared. And our ushers are nice, smiling, handsome ushers, right? They are ready to give you a handout if you forgot your handout. So just lift your hand up high. Oh, no. I hope we're prepared. Uh-oh. I hope we're prepared. That's a lot of hands. All right, 1 Corinthians. Go ahead and turn there, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I think we have enough. I'm hoping we do. Need something else? Nope. The Bibles are not in the pews. Do you know why? Because of Walk Through Bethlehem, we remove them because otherwise we'd have crayon marks all through them. The Bibles are not there. They'll be back there Sunday morning. But, you know, it would have been move them back, move them out, move them back, move them out. So hopefully you've got a Bible. If not, maybe you can look off with somebody close to you and look off on their Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. All right, I hope you're there. Now, let me ask you, we're talking about building a fireproof life. Can I get a handout real quick? It's a little embarrassing. I do have the master, okay, you know, my notes, but I just want to see what you've got too. But, oh, mercy. All right, here we go. We left off, I think, with the back, right? We completed the front, and we're going to the back. We're talking about building a fireproof life. And, you know, if you're going to have a sound building, you got to have a good foundation. By the way, what is our foundation if we're a Christian? Look at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the foundation. But now, hold on, what are you going to build on the foundation of Christ? You know, that's the question. How are you going to build your life? And what building materials are you going to use to build your life? What kind of a life are you going to build now that you know Christ? Verse 10, look at it with me. It says, according to the great, and by the way, if you look up at verse 9, the end of verse 9 says, ye are God's building. He likens us to a building, and he says in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder. That's interesting there. You ask somebody, who's the master builder? They'll probably say Christ, but Paul said he was the master builder, didn't he? Isn't that funny? You know, there's songs out there about Jesus is the master builder and all that. Well, Paul said, he said that he was the master builder, and Paul said, I have laid the foundation. Of course, he knew what that foundation was that he had laid as a master builder, and that foundation was Christ, and he had laid that foundation in the lives of these Corinthians. Paul started his church. I've laid the foundation. And then he said, another built it thereon. Paul didn't just stay in Corinth. He was only there a year and a half. So he started the church, laid the foundation, led many of these people to Christ, and he was the master builder, right? But then Paul was a missionary. He left after a year and a half. And then he says another came and builded thereon. And then look at the end of verse 10. He says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid with Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation. Okay, so now we're talking about how you're going to build. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be made known, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try, test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? What's the last word of verse 14? Reward. So you're going to get a reward if you build right, but verse 15, if you build wrong, he says you're going to suffer loss of reward, but he himself shall be what? Saved, yet so is by fire. And so it's very important how we build our life after we're saved. Because one day, we are going to stand before Jesus Christ. And we are going to look him in the eye. And we are going to stand accountable for the materials we've used to build our life since we've been saved. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to burn up. And you're going to suffer loss of reward. If it's gold, silver, precious stones, then you are going to receive a reward from the hand of Jesus Christ. So this is serious business, how you choose to build your life. Teenagers, you're in here tonight. It's not enough to just say, oh yeah, I got saved when I was five. You know, or flip it and think, oh yeah, I'm saved. Well, okay, you're saved. But the question is, how are you building your life now that you are saved? How are you building? Is it wood, hay, and stubble? You better be careful. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be all burned up. When the fires of Jesus Christ's judgment is applied to your works, if it's wood, hay, and stubble, it goes up in flames. If it's gold and silver and precious stones, in other words, you've spent your life serving the Lord with a right heart, you love God, you're doing it out of a love for God. By the way, we're in the middle of Walk Through Bethlehem. It's been great. First weekend was wonderful. 3,000 to 4,000 people, that's great. But you know what? We're serving, we're doing things. Probably everyone in here is involved in some way in Walk Through Bethlehem. But let me ask you a question. Can we serve faithfully and diligently and tirelessly in Walk Through Bethlehem? Can we do that and have it still be wood, hay, and stubble? Yes. Yes, we can. There's look at the end of verse 13. And notice it says, the fire shall try every man's work. And then what does the end of that verse say? Of what sort it is. So not only will your works be tested, but why you did it. What was your motive? What was behind it? Why did you do it? You know, why did you usher? Why did you act in the city? Why did you get up here and sing? Why did you do what you did? You know, and so this is serious business. And we have to make sure that we're taking heed how we build on the foundation of Christ. What kind of builder are we? And we gave the illustration, you know, Satan's kind of like the big bad wolf, you know. He's going to huff and puff. He's going to bring the fires of affliction to you. And you know, when he brings those fiery trials in our life, it's going to reveal what kind of a builder you've been. Whether you've built a solid structure that can withstand the fiery trials and the testings of Satan, or whether you have built something that is going to go up in smoke. It's just going to go up in flames. And you're going to be destroyed in your life. Oh yeah, you'll be saved. Maybe you're going to go to heaven. But your life will go through unnecessary pain and heartache and destruction. It doesn't have to be that way. Now, we said number one in your handout there, how do I build a life that's fireproof? Well, number one is by seeking to continue your spiritual, and what was the blank? Growth. Are you growing? Or has your growth been stunted? You know, that's a great question. Am I growing or am I going backwards in my walk with Christ? Am I growing or am I declining spiritually? We have to continue our growth. By the way, do you ever reach the point where you are so mature that you don't need to grow anymore? Nobody does. Whoever's been saved the longest in here tonight, you've been saved 50 years, you ought to still be growing. You should still be growing and learning and maturing, wanting to manifest more of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And like I said Sunday, the way you know you're growing is not how big your Bible is or how you look, you know, or how many hours you serve up at the church. The way you know or what position you hold at the church, that is not how you know if you're growing. The way you know that you're growing is if you find yourself manifesting more and more of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. These things, you're growing. You're maturing. You're saying, man, my faith is stronger than it was a year ago. I'm more gentle and meek and kind than I was a year ago. I'm more loving. I've got more joy. The peace of God just anchors my heart more so than it did a year ago. And that's the test. You know, am I manifesting the fruit of the Spirit? It's not about a list of rules. It's not about a list of, you know, I'm keeping these standards. I'm keeping these rules. I'm doing what? I'm looking good, man, up at church. I'm looking good. I'm looking real good. Man, everybody pats me on the back, tells me, man, how good I am. Man, I must be growing. No, that's not how you know if you're growing. See, so that's important. Number two, let's go to the back of the handout. Number two, how do I build a fireproof life? Number two, by keeping your eyes Christ-centered, not man-centered. Not man-centered. Now, there was a problem here in Corinth. We said they were babies in Christ. Do you know how Paul knew they were babies? The way he knew they were babies, look at verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers, servants, by whom you believed. Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered. What does that last part of that verse say? But God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. I mean, we're on the same team. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now look up here. Instead of these people looking vertically. Who's vertical? Who am I looking at when I'm looking up? Jesus Christ. Instead of looking vertically, they began to look horizontally. They had gotten their eyes fixed on men. You cannot build a solid Christian life. We're talking about building a structure, teenagers. Building something that's going to last. Building a life that's not going to be easily destroyed. And you cannot build a solid Christian life if it's built on men. Why? Why can't I build my life on Pastor Rob? Why can't I build my life on, you know, the life group teacher or this person I really look up to? Why? Because we are all made of the same stuff, flesh. We're all made of the same stuff. And you know what the Bible says about flesh? It says, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. And by the way, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing, and in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And in his flesh dwelleth no good thing. And I'm not going to say my wife, but she's saying, yeah, me too. Yeah. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing. Men at their best are at their best still men. One of the biggest mistakes you could ever make is to put a certain individual on a pedestal. And think that that person has got the Christian life all figured out. Let me just tell you, nobody has it all figured out. Nobody has it all together. Oh, but there's this guy that I go to church with, and you only see him on Sunday when he's cleaned up. You don't see him at home. You don't see him when he's upset. You don't see him when he's frustrated. You don't see him at work. You know, nobody has it all together. And nobody is incapable of messing up. Nobody is incapable of making mistakes. Nobody. I make them all the time. Nobody. You know, and, you know, sometimes in church work, we'll elevate people up, you know, high. And we just, you know, we elevate them. And we get to thinking, well, boy, I tell you, they've got it all together. Boy, I tell you, they have figured it out. I want you to know, every men at their best are at their best still men. And there isn't a person that's living and breathing that does not have struggles and battles and issues with sin that they deal with. There's not a single person that doesn't have those battles and those struggles. Not a person. And we forget that. See? You cannot read through your Bible and not see that simple truth. That men at their best are at their best still men. You look at the best guys in that Bible. And there were issues. There were struggles. There were failures. There was mistakes. There was blunders. There was sins. There were things they had to get through. There was discouragement. There was depression. There was despondency. You know, you just look through the Bible. Every person, no matter how spiritual they are, will disappoint you if you are around them long enough. Did y'all hear that? Every person will disappoint you if you're around them long enough. They will let you down. It is inevitable. How many of you ever heard this expression? A person has a chink in their armor. You ever hear that? If you look up the word chink in Webster's, the definition is a weak spot that may leave one vulnerable. How many people have chinks in their armor? Everybody. Everyone has weak spots that leaves them vulnerable. Now, let me just say this to you. This thing that everyone will disappoint you, everyone's going to let you down. Nobody is going to do it right by the book every time the way it ought to be done. Now, you can allow that truth to make you cynical. You can allow that to make you non-trusting of people. And you can just become a real, just real cynical person. And you go from, you got, what you do is you end up going from person to person that you like and respect. Because then what happens is you like and respect this person until in your mind they let you down or did you wrong. So they're crossed off. So then you go to the next person, and what happens? Same thing if you're around them very much. And you got to cross them off. Then you go to the next person, and that's your favorite. And that's the one you like. And that's the one you respect. Oh, he's the real deal. So I heard somebody say that recently. Not about somebody here at the church. But I heard someone talking about a church leader in another church. And they said, oh yeah, she's the real deal. I guess that means, you know, she got it all figured out. You know, she's reached a state of sinlessness. You know, and guess what happens? Hang around that real deal very long, and you find out what? Yeah, real deal, all right. She's made of flesh like me. That's the real deal, you know. But that's what happens to people, see? Then they got to go to the next person. Then they got to go to the next person. So what happens is this truth can either make you cynical, make you non-trusting, or you can allow that truth that, you know, that people are going to disappoint you, people are going to let you down. You can allow that truth to make you more loving, more kind, more gracious, and more understanding. You can either get cynical and bitter, or you can say, you know what? Nobody's got it figured out. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's got this Christian life thing down pat. And you know what? That means I've got to be more loving, more kind, more gracious, more understanding. And you know what? I need to pray harder for people. And that can be your attitude. And you just become a sweet person. Just a real sweet person that people like to be around. Because you're encouraging. And you know where people are coming from. And you're gracious. And you're kind. And you're praying for people. You're lifting them up and you're trying to encourage them. Because you know they're struggling like you, like just like you struggle. And so, you know, you become... But my point is this. When the fires of life come, by the way, are they coming? Yeah, they're coming. When the fires of life come, you had better not try and fireproof your life with the pastor. You better not try and fireproof your life with your life group leader, your youth pastor. You better not try and fireproof your life with your spouse, your parents, some other leader up at the church, some other Christian friend. Don't try to fireproof your life with people. That's what the Corinthians were doing. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of this one, I'm of that one. You know what? What Paul is saying here, you better look to Jesus. And if your faith is in Him, then the fires of life will refine you. They'll make you better. They'll make you stronger. If your faith is in men, the fires of life are going to consume you and destroy you. If I had my eyes on men, I would have been destroyed within 5 years of being saved. I had so many people let me down the first 5 years I was saved. And you know what I found out? I found out the man who led me to the Lord, the man who was a witness to me, the man who mentored me, I found out he wasn't perfect. And it was my brother, Steve Proctor. I found that out. Let me tell you something. I'm sure Steve's let me down many, many times since we both got saved. I know I've let him down many, many times. But you know what? I love the guy more than I've ever loved him before. You know, just because he's not perfect, that doesn't mean I can't love him. And know that, hey, you know what? He's sincere. He loves God. And I can love him. And there was a lot of people within my first 5 years that, you know, really let me down. But you know what I learned at a young age? You know what? You just need to keep your eyes on Jesus. Paul realized the importance of not glorying in men. Look at verse 21. Same chapter, verse 21. Therefore, let no man, everybody say it with me, what is it?
Glory
in men. For all things are yours. What does that mean, to glory in men? What do you think that means? Put them on a pedestal. Your faith's in them, right? You're like building your life on them. Question, should I love people? Question, should I, and can I honor and respect people? Absolutely. But I'm not going to glory in them. I'm not going to glory in them. I'm only going to glory in Jesus Christ. See? And even though Paul was one of those that they were seeking to exalt, Paul would not hear of it. And he knew it was a mark of carnality. If you look back at chapter 2, just flip back one chapter. Chapter 2, verse 5. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Now notice that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. But where should my faith stand? In the power of God. I want you to write that in your handout there. Let your faith stand in the power of God, not the wisdom of men. If you look at, I'll just quote it real quick for time's sake. But there's a verse, a great passage in Ephesians 6, if y'all want to read it this week. It's really good. Listen to this. It says, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Doing service as to the Lord, not to men. If you're serving and walk through Bethlehem for me, you're serving for the wrong reasons. If you're serving and walk through Bethlehem to be seen of people, that's the wrong reason. What's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ when the fires of judgment are applied? If you're serving on Sunday, if you're serving during the week, and if you're, you know, whatever you're doing, you're doing it just as if Jesus Christ was right there, and you're doing it for Him. You're not doing it for people. You're doing it. Now, I understand we serve people, and I understand the way we serve the Lord is to serve people, and I understand that. But as we're serving people, we keep in mind that, you know what, really, I'm serving these people, but you know what, I'm doing it as unto the Lord. I'm doing it unto Jesus. It's Him that I'm doing this for. The Bible says I'm to be rooted and built up in Christ, not a man. Teenagers, did you hear me? Rooted and built up in Christ, not a man. You don't need to be rooted and built up in Dan Proctor. You got to be rooted and built up in Christ. And I was enjoying some fellowship Monday with a couple pastor friends of mine that pastored other churches here in Florida. And we were just getting together, just informally. Just we do it every so often. We get together in fellowship. And we were talking. And I don't even know how we got on the subject, but I made the comment to them. I said, if something were to happen to me, I said, I know this church would go forward for Jesus Christ. And the one guy looked at me and the other preacher looked at me and said, do you really believe that? And I said, yeah, I do. Now, naturally, anytime a leader is gone, there's going to be, you know, there's some adjusting and there may be a little stumbling here and there. But I really believe, folks, that the work of God is bigger than Dan Proctor, Rob Hall, Rich Costanza. It's bigger than any person. The work of God rests in the person and in the completeness of Jesus Christ, not me. And I have the utmost confidence in your spirituality and the spirituality of this church that you know that you're rooted and built up in Christ, not a man. You know, I love 1 Corinthians 3, if you go back there to our text. I love that passage right there in verse 7 or verse 6 where Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I like that. And then I like where he says, so then neither is he that planteth what? Anything. Neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. In your handout it says, give glory to God for increase and blessing, not man. Give glory to God for increase and blessing, not man. Do you realize that we just saw a mathematical equation that doesn't make a lot of sense to us humanly? Do you realize the mathematical equation we just saw? Verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth what? Anything. Zero. Right? Neither he that watereth. Zero. Well, I'm not real bright, but maybe I wasn't the best in math, but I know what zero plus zero is. It should be zero, right? But yet, verse 8 says, now he that planteth, who's a zero, and he that watereth is a zero. Neither he that planteth or watereth or anything. But then he says, zero plus zero is what? One. Zero plus zero equals one. How do you explain that? You know? If I realize that it's not me and my flesh, it's just Christ. And Rob over here, he realizes that it's not him, but Christ. Then you know what? Zero plus zero means we're what? We're one, man. We on the same team. Amen. I don't have to worry that I'm getting more recognition than you. I don't have to worry that, you know, of that, well, people like Rob's preaching better than mine. They think he's nicer than me, which he is. You know, but I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about that. When I realize, you know what? It's just Christ in me. And it's Christ in him. Then you know what? I don't have any problem with him. Zero plus zero equals what?
One.
We're one. If you have a problem with someone in the church and you got a problem working with them, and then you know what? There's a far deeper problem than just the fact you don't like them. There's a far deeper problem than, well, I don't care for them and I don't respect them or I don't blah, blah, blah. You know, there's a problem there. Only by pride cometh contention. Someone just preached that recently. I don't remember who it was. I don't think it was me. But somebody just said that. Only by pride cometh contention. When you get a bunch of people that forget they're zeros and that it's Christ in them, when they forget that and they think they're something, and I got this position, or I've got this, you know, well, then, okay, then you're going to have what you got in Corinth. You're going to have carnality. You're going to have egos. You're going to have this power struggle going on. You see, zero plus zero equals one. How do you explain that? Well, you don't. You just look up and you praise God. And you say, it's him. He's given the increase. If you're saved, your foundation is Christ. You better remember that. Go to Luke 14 real quick. I want to show you something right here at the end of this message. Luke 14, and this is insightful. Now, I know this is written to Israel and has to do with the kingdom and everything else, but there's some application here, I think, that will be helpful. There's some application I think we can make to this idea of building our life. Paul said, take heed how you build thereupon. Well, how are you building your life? Well, if you look at verse 28, Luke 14, 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Verse 29. Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to what? Finish. You see, how are you building your life? Christian teenager, how are you building your life? You don't want, you do not want. The other day, yesterday, Rob and I were at the hospital making a visit, and you saw that guy in the lobby of the hospital that you knew, and you had known him from way back. And, you know, you don't want, when you walk by that guy, you don't want him thinking, oh yeah, he's the guy that used to serve the Lord, but now he doesn't anymore. Right? You don't want that. You don't want that kind of a testimony. You know? You want people to see that you're a finisher. You know, you're building your life on Christ. You're taking heed how you're building. And you're a finisher. You're not a quitter. You're a finisher. You're not a quitter. There are fires that are going to come into your life that are going to tempt you to quit. Throw in the towel. Go home. I'm done with church. I'm done with this. I'm done with all. I'm done. And there's going to be temptations in your life to quit. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We need to be strong finishers. We need to build a life that's fireproof. How? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Realize he's the only one that will never disappoint you. He's the only one that will never let you down. Hebrews 12:2. Look in your handout. Looking unto Jesus. Everybody say those three words with me. Looking unto Jesus. The author and what? There it is. How do I finish? How do I build a building and finish it? I got to look to Jesus, don't I, Brother Paul? I got to look to Christ. He's the finisher of our faith. He didn't say he's the finisher of his faith. He said Christ is the finisher of our faith. who for the joy that was set before him and endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand throne of God. How many of you are thankful that Christ did not quit on the way to the cross? Aren't you thankful? Well, then, you know what? We look unto him. He's the finisher of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith. He's how I build something and finish it in my life. So we've learned two key principles on how to fireproof your life so that you can withstand the fiery trials of life and come through victoriously. But did you know there's an eternal benefit to this? What did we read about a minute ago? In 1 Corinthians 3, it said that one day we're going to stand before God and our works will be tried of what sort they are. I am convinced that so much of what's done in a church is going to get burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. Because we either do it with a bad attitude, or we serve out of with resentment, or we serve because we feel like we have to, or we serve to be noticed, or we serve because of the recognition we receive, or we serve out of, you know, because we're bored, maybe, you know. And you know, why? The question isn't just what are you doing for the Lord. The question really is far deeper. Why are you doing what you do? Why are you doing it? You see, one day we're all going to stand before Jesus Christ. And in your handout, it says, your works will be tried by fire. Jesus will test our works to see how we built. He's going to test your works to see how you built. Was it for Christ? Was it through Christ? Or was it flesh? Was it flesh? If we've built our lives upon our own fleshly desires, upon men, there'll be great loss. How you build your life now will determine your rewards and your position in heaven in the future. One time, an author wrote this. He said, I asked a student what things he desired most. He said, books. I asked a miser, what do you desire most? He said, money. He said, I asked a beggar, what do you desire most? He said, bread. I asked a drunkard. He said, alcohol. I asked the multitude around me, and they lifted up a confused cry. And I heard wealth and fame and pleasure and power. He said, finally, I asked a poor man who had just displayed the character of Christ in his life. And he said, I asked him, what do you desire most? And here's what he said. I greatly desire three things. First, that I be found in Christ. Second, that I may be like Christ. Third, that I may be with Christ. His deepest aspirations centered on Christ alone. And in your handout it says, if you have built your life upon Christ and His Word, there will be reward. There will be reward from the hand of Christ. Let's be wise master builders and build our lives on Jesus Christ. Amen, church.